Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. What does this mean? We should fear and love God that we may not curse, swear, use witchcraft, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. God gave the Ten Commandments to a specific nation at a specific time of history. He gave them through Moses to ancient Israel about 1,400 years before the birth of Christ. Sometimes we use the term moral law to explain the Ten Commandments. By moral, we mean that they are a standard for all human conduct. The Ten Commandments are not time-bound. They teach permanent truths about what is right and what is wrong. Right and wrong don't change. The Ten Commandments served as civil law for ancient Israel. To a large extent, they still serve as civil law today. For example, the second commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," forbids lying under oath. It's a crime. It's called perjury. Perjury is illegal in every single state of the Union. Of course, the second commandment forbids more than that. Any misuse of God's name is a sin, even when it isn't a crime. To use God's name as an expletive, as if it is a four-letter word, is a sin. When Christians say Christ and God as expressions of surprise, disgust, annoyance, or anger, they dishonor the one whose name they bear in holy baptism. The second commandment forbids every misuse of God's name. To curse your neighbor, calling God's anger down on him, is a sin. To use God's name in service to any kind of lie is a sin. To say that God said it when God didn't say it is a sin. To use God's name to cover up any kind of wrongdoing is a sin. And God takes this sin against the second commandment seriously. The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The ancient Israelites were quite legalistic in the way they applied the second commandment. The name of God in the Hebrew of the Old Testament is Yahweh. Our English language Bibles simply render this as L-O-R-D in all capital letters. The Hebrew word Yahweh is related to the Hebrew for I am. It is the name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. The Israelites were so concerned about the guilt they would bring upon themselves by taking Yahweh's name in vain that they came up with a simple solution that would prevent them from ever breaking this commandment. They never used the name Yahweh at all. Whenever they spoke of Yahweh, they called him by the title Lord, instead of by his personal name, Yahweh. They figured that they could hardly misuse God's name if they never used it at all. But they were wrong. As with all of the commandments, it's not just a matter of what we must not do, it is also a matter of what we must do. And so Luther's explanation is quite right when it explains that we must not curse, swear, use witchcraft, lie, or deceive by God's name, and then goes on to say that we must call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. To use God's name in service to a lie or a sin is a sin of commission. To ignore God's name altogether is a sin of omission. God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." Obviously, using or misusing the name of God goes much deeper than the mere use or non-use of such words as Lord, God, Christ, Jesus, and so forth. God's name is not a magical sound. God's name is everything the Word of God says to describe God. His name is His reputation. His name has to do with His honor. The most serious violation of the Second Commandment is not using God's name as a cuss word. It is rather attributing to God a teaching or message that is not from God. In this way, God's reputation suffers among those who believe the teaching comes from God. Luther makes this point in the Large Catechism on the Second Commandment. He writes, "The greatest abuse, however, occurs in spiritual matters which pertain to the conscience, when false preachers arise and peddle their lying nonsense as the Word of God." Large Catechism, Part 1, Paragraph 54. The reason people don't care about false doctrine is because they don't care about God. They don't care to honor His name. The Second Commandment is simply putting into practice the First Commandment. The First Commandment deals with the heart. Whom do you fear, love, and trust in the most? To whom do you look for all help in your every need? On whom do you rely? Your faith is either in the one true God or an idol. The First Commandment deals with who our God is. The Second Commandment deals with what we say about Him. Do we talk of Him in such a way that His reputation is honored and magnified and His name is hallowed, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer? Certainly this requires, first and foremost, that we speak the truth about Him. And surely we cannot speak the truth about God if we don't know what the truth is. Now, there are some things about God that He chooses not to reveal to us. That's His business, not ours. St. Paul puts it this way, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become His counselor?" But people are not satisfied to leave the unsearchable judgments of God up to God, and so they seek out information that God forbids them to have. They consult mediums, astrologers, witches, psychics, and others who make a living out of defying the Second Commandment. Imagine spending dollars per minute to talk to a psychic who defies God when you could listen to the pure gospel of Jesus Christ instead. Sorcery of every kind and description is sin, and it's no joking matter. The devil and his angels are real enough. Since the holy angels obey God and surely would not speak to people who seek divine guidance in defiance of God, the only possible source of information through sorcery, fortune-telling, seances, and the like is the devil and his evil angels. The name of God and the Word of God are tightly joined together. Listen to how St. Paul connects God's name with God's Word in his epistle to the Romans. "For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Calling on God's name is nothing more than an expression of faith. Faith comes from hearing the gospel that is preached. So, to use God's name faithfully is to pray, praise, and give thanks to the one who speaks His word of the gospel to us. The greatest worship outwardly is the preaching of the gospel. The greatest worship inwardly is the believing of the gospel. The way we use God's name simply reflects what we believe about God. God wants the pure, wholesome, saving gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached. The law of God shows us a goodness and justice and majesty of God that must not ever be compromised. God's law reflects the perfection of God's holy nature, and any compromise of God's law is to take His name in vain. No preacher has the right to amend God's commandments to make them more popular. That is taking God's name in vain. When the law hurts those the preacher doesn't want to hurt, he had better remember who put him in the pulpit and follow his orders. The law does hurt, but that's not the fault of God's holy law, of God's perfection. It's the fault of sinful men, women, and children. But it is the faithless preacher who relies on the law of God for spiritual growth. It is the hireling who avoids the scandal of the cross. True Christian preaching that honors God's name and extols God's goodness is the preaching of the crucifixion of Jesus. There alone is God's goodness really seen in its true and eternal purity. Our God is full of mercy and compassion. Folks just talk about feeling your pain. They don't really feel it, and they couldn't if they wanted to. But God joined himself to our own flesh and blood and became one of us. He joined us as a man, and he suffered. He felt our pain. He faced the curses of the whole world against the holy God. He, the pure, innocent God-man, bore the curse of Almighty God against sinners. This is what the Bible says. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." So he faced not only the curses of men, but also the curse of God against sinners. He faced it, and he bore it, and he took it away from us. The second commandment meets its goal when we with unclean lips and corrupt hearts lay before our gracious God all of our sins of thought, word, and deed, and we listen in humble faith to his words of forgiveness. To preach and to believe that gospel is the goal of the second commandment. Believing that, for Christ's sake, all our sins are forgiven, we have peace with God, and we have a home in heaven forever, is the foundation and strength of all our prayers, praise, and thanksgiving to God. And this, of course, is why we have this broadcast and why we invite you to listen in every week. We want you to hear that gospel through which God gives to us the forgiveness of sins and thereby makes us holy. And as Jesus said, a good tree bears good fruit. When God forgives you and pronounces you to be righteous, which he does in his gospel, he thereby enables you to glorify him by what you say. And so the second commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And the first petition of the Lord's Prayer, hallowed be thy name, are honored by God's people. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. This is brought to you every Sunday by First Confessional Lutheran Parish. We'd like to invite you to attend one of the congregations of our parish. We have divine service Sunday morning at 8 o'clock at First Evanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, Minnesota, Sunday morning at 9:30 at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, Minnesota, and Sunday morning at 11:30 at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, North Dakota. If you'd like to know a little bit more about our congregations, please go to www.christforus.org, and you'll find sermons and papers and other things of interest. Tune in next Sunday morning for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.